G'day gang, are you interested in picking up a free copy of my new book, Your Virtual Freedom? If you are, go to thehiddenwhy.com, click on the resources tab. The book is titled Your Virtual Freedom. Focus on the big ideas, outsource the rest. It's a guide to hiring and using virtual assistants. Press the link in the resources tab. It'll ask you for a code. The code is in uppercase capital letters, FREE, F-R-E-E. You can then download your copy and enjoy the read. Guys, if you are interested in that, make sure you take me up. It'll be up there for a limited time only. Thank you. This is episode 251 on the Hidden Why podcast with Yuri Elkem.
You're listening to The Hidden Why with your host, Lee.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Hidden Why podcast. My name is Lee Manotti, The Hidden Why guy. I'm here to help people discover their hidden why. And you go, what the hell is that? Well, what it means is really helping and assisting others to just disrupt their life and start living a life that's more true to themselves. That's certainly what I'm trying to do. There's a lot of aspects of life that we need to nourish to allow what's naturally within us to flourish on through. I believe we all have a why, and certainly a lot of the guests I get on the show do as well. And I think you just really need to create the right environments, create the stuff that's important to you, and start doing the things that are important to you. And then what will eventually flourish through will be your potential and be your truth, be your why. And that can change and evolve as well along the way, but it's important to enjoy that journey. Stop getting caught up in all that bullshit that's out there these days of this is what you need to do, this is the path you need to follow, this is the way to go. Start living your life. That's my message here. And today I've got a fantastic guest to just give me a little bit more insight, give you a bit more insight into how we can get there. His name is Yuri Elkem. He is a health expert. He started off as a health trainer, professional, helping people, you know, improve their health through physical fitness and diet, etc. And then he just went on to wanting to help more people. So he started an online business 10 years ago and now reaches millions of people. He's helped, 500,000 people with their health. So he's got big numbers and certainly doing great things. But he's very grounded, very humble. And I like that. So I had to question that as well. How does he, you know, stay grounded? How did he remove the ego to allow him to keep progressing without thinking he's bigger than perhaps what a lot of people might get caught up with? So it's a good discussion, really down to earth, and a lot of good takeouts, a lot of good highlights. We talk about his business as well, and some of the keys there that he shares with us are gold towards the end of the episode. So enjoy this one, guys. Let me know what you think. Jump onto thehiddenwhy.com. You can reach me at thehiddenwhyguy@gmail.com and on Facebook as well. And if you do love the show, guys, the best thing you can do for me is just share it with your network. Subscribe to The Hidden Why podcast. Subscribe to thehiddenwhy.com online, and I'll chat to you at the other end. Enjoy this one. Thank you.
This is The Hidden Why, discussing ideas and thoughts on living life with passion and finding your hidden why, your reason, your purpose.
G'day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the interview today with Yuri Elkem. Elkem, have I got that right?
You have.
Good. How are you, Yuri?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing, Lee?
I'm fantastic, mate. It is early morning here. Can't be more excited than starting my day off with a great interview with yourself, mate. And I always love an inspiring chat, so I'm sure this will be one of those.
For sure.
So, Yuri, tell the audience a bit about yourself, and then we'll get into the guts of the show. But just to put it in context, what do you do, and what's your background?
Yeah, so I do, at the core of what I do, I'm a teacher. I reduce complexity and make it simple for people. So specifically, I've kind of applied that to the health and fitness space. And I've been doing that for the past 20 years. And I started off as a personal trainer and nutritionist, working with, you know, clients one-on-one for 16 hours a day. And then I was a strength and conditioning coach for men's soccer at the University of Toronto for 7 years. And during that time, I started my online business because I just realized that, I just wanted to impact more people, and I wasn't really enjoying the one-on-one as much. So about 10 years ago, I started my online business. And from that point forward, we've been able to help 500,000 people around the world lose weight, have more energy, and get in great shape, all while providing them with really simple and actionable solutions to helping them achieve those goals. And, you know, we've had, during that period of time, I've written 3 published books. One of them is a New York Times bestseller. And, you know, we're on a mission to help 10 million people by 2018 and 100 million people by 2040 around the world improve their health. And in that process, in the last little bit, a lot of colleagues in our space, a lot of other health and fitness professionals have been asking me about, you know, business advice and how I've grown my presence online. And so after receiving several of those requests, I was like, you know what, maybe I should do something with this.
Opportunity. Yep.
So yeah, so we started a new division called Healthpreneur, which is all about helping health and fitness professionals turn their expertise into a thriving online business so that collectively we can create more impact and give them more money and freedom that they deserve. So that's pretty much what I do. I, you know, whether it's business or health, I've done a very good job at giving people the fundamentals and the principles outside of a lot of the complexity and confusion so that they can kind of like really work on what matters most in their life and in their business.
So it's been a sort of driving force behind everything you do, just that removal of complexity and making it simple. Whether that's for teaching, you know, other health professionals or teaching people to improve their health. So just, it sounds like a diverse background. Just quickly, your books are, I've got All Day Fat Burning Diet, All Day Energy Diet. Are they the two books?
They're the two. And then I have the third one comes out this December. It's called the All Day Fat Burning Cookbook. So it's a follow-up to the All Day Fat Burning Diet.
Okay. So it's like a good trilogy. Nice. Love it.
Exactly. And I've pretty much said everything I can say about nutrition there. So I don't foresee myself writing any more books on nutrition.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. No, well, it's good. And I like that you've seen the opportunity there to, you know, help other professionals do the same and really create that freedom in their life. And I think that's important. I wanted to ask you a question. You know, 10 years ago when you decided to start your online business, you said, you know, you sort of wanted to reach more people, and that's a really good, heartful approach to, you know, having that motivation to start that business. But was there a deeper reason or a reason to, you know, start an online business to create more freedom in your own life so you could not, you didn't have to necessarily rely on that particular job or vocation?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think there's a couple of different things. So I grew up with seeing my mom work in the corporate worlds and, you know, seeing that her do that for 30 plus years. And I was like, I would rather slit my wrist than ever do that. Okay. And then my dad was an entrepreneur. He had in the retail space. So he had a number of retail stores. And I just saw him work 7 days a week, way more than he had to, and didn't really see him that much. I mean, my parents got divorced when I was young as well, so that didn't help. But I think, you know, seeing them as two like what not to do type of examples were really helpful for me. I always knew that I was going to be an entrepreneur. I've been a rebel since I was born pretty much. So I was never one to follow the rules and so forth. But I also looked at those examples of how not to build a business. I didn't want to build a business or even have a job that was confining me to a certain specific spots or time requirements. So that's why I got to the point where I was like, you know, I don't want to be working 14, 16 hours a day in the same location and not have location independence. And plus, at the time, I was just starting to date my now wife, and we had a dog who I never saw. And I was like, well, I've got to kind of take him out to the bathroom and do that kind of stuff. And I'm like, what happens when I have kids? I don't want to live this kind of life when I've got kids. So now I have three young boys between 2.5 and 5.5. And I mean, I get to spend most of my time with them, which is in some cases good, some cases bad, because they can be crazy sometimes. But nonetheless, I get to determine, I mean, I get to walk into school, I get to pick them up every day, we get to hang out and have fun and do all sorts of stuff that I would not have been able to do had I been working from 7 a.m. until 9 o'clock at night, as I had in the past. So I kind of projected forward and I said, listen, I want to build a business around my ideal lifestyle. And my ideal lifestyle is really pretty simple. I mean, I just want to be able to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, with who I want to do it with. And I don't need all the bells and whistles. I mean, I have a great house. I've got, you know, a car that I've always wanted. But other than that, I just want to just take my dogs for a walk whenever I want to, or I just want to like hang out in the backyard. It's pretty simple stuff. And seeing a life not being able to be lived that way, for me, it was torture. So that was one of the biggest drivers for me wanting to start a business online. Mm. And I think also, again, like looking at my parents as influences of like how not to live around kind of work and stuff were two big influences too.
Yeah, great stuff. And I think a lot of the people listening, myself included, I mean, we can resonate with your message there. And it's really, you know, projecting that future vision of how you want to see your life and how you want to be, and then designing it around that, you know, and I believe it is possible for people to do that. Not that it's necessarily the fact that you know, want to be the entrepreneur and have your own business, because I know a lot of successful people, and I've interviewed them on the show. Actually, I just spoke to another lady this morning, and she's a university professor, and that's what she does. So she goes to a job and works in a location, but she loves it, and that's what she said. Mm-hmm. She does, you know, other than some of the admin stuff that she does, most of her day is just joy, and that's what she loves to do. And I think that's really important. And yeah. I think there's a lot of flexibility in her life to be able to, you know, depart when she needs to and or when she desires to anyway.
Yeah, it's great. I think it's, you know, it's important no matter what you do to have a sense of control over your specific profession or your vocation, because I mean, I think that's, I can't remember where I saw this, but that was one of the biggest determinants to our feeling of fulfillment and happiness is our sense of control of our own situation. Whereas if you're working in a job where you're just waiting for the hammer to drop, that's not a very good feeling. And, you know, there's not a lot of fulfillment and joy that comes out of being in that kind of environment. So, you know, if you're working whatever job you're working in, as long as you enjoy it and you feel like you've got some degree of control, that's awesome. And it's as long as you're doing what you feel like you should be doing, I think that's most important.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. I think, and just a thought has just come from that, is if you are in an environment where you are controlled and you don't feel that you have the freedom to, you know, do something when you need to, and you don't need freedom all the time necessarily. But for me, reflecting back onto when I was in the corporate arena, I certainly had to work, you know, particular days that I didn't feel I liked or enjoyed to work, like Sundays. I particularly mm-hmm. enjoy Sundays as a family day. Mm-hmm. And then taking times off for important occasions like birthdays or family functions, whatever it might be. I was very restricted, and that really didn't sit well with me. Whilst I enjoyed most parts of the job, that particular part wasn't enjoyable for me. And that just makes me question, if you are controlled and don't have that flexibility, does that mean really you're working for someone else's dreams or your own dreams? And I think, you know, you'd probably find the answer in most cases that it's you're working for someone else's dreams and not your own.
Yeah, totally.
Because you have no control. Yeah, cool stuff. Interesting. And very interesting that you look at your parents as well. How old were you when you sort of did this, started this online business? Can I ask, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, I was in my mid-20s. I actually played professional soccer before that for a number of years. My whole life was actually dedicated to playing soccer. That was my goal from a very young age. And so I was able to do that in my early 20s. And then when I was about 24 and a half, my contract was coming to kind of its expiration. And I was supposed to go to a different club in France, and things kind of fell through the cracks. And it actually worked out well for me because I got to the point where I was just kind of disenchanted with the sport. And again, I was an employee. I didn't have the freedom to really do what I wanted to do. And you know, like obviously playing professional soccer is an amazing, like it's awesome. Yet I still felt that there was something bigger that I could do on this planet than just play soccer. And so sometimes, you know, you kind of reach the top of the mountain and you're like, well, maybe this is not where I want to be. And that's kind of the epiphany that I had. So when I came back to Toronto after hanging up the boots, through a series of events, was introduced to this whole idea of developing an online business. But that came about after about a year and a half of kind of being back in the thick of things with my clients and so forth. So probably, I think I was about 25, 26 when I started my online business.
Okay. And yeah, I think it's, you know, something I want to get into is just your experience with starting that business. Which I'll get to shortly, but I just want to find out what, I mean, looking at your parents, that's certainly been a motivating factor behind, you know, what you've done. What motivates you to do things? Like what motivated you to continue with soccer? I mean, was it the passion behind it? What keeps you motivated? You know, how do you stay self-motivated? Because it sounds to me that you are very self-motivated and driven, you know, no mm-hmm. matter what sort of obstacle you come to, it seems like you're one of those people that will just keep pushing forward and find a way around.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's probably a combination of factors. I think one of them is I knew at a very, very early age that I was significantly better than a lot of other players that I played against. And I knew that I had this, even to this day, I have what I call a delusional belief, which is just I believe that I'm kind of the best at what I do. And it's almost to the point of delusional. And I think sometimes it's actually, it's helpful to have that. Sometimes it can be to your detriment, but I think that kind of unwavering belief was really, really helpful for me. And especially when I was in my teenage years going through soccer, I had a lot of kind of external praise from coaches and agents and stuff like that, who also saw that in me as well. So I knew that I could do something really cool with my talents. And if I just kind of continued working at it, I can make it happen. I also think that you know, there's a, probably a bit of a competitive streak in me. Well, I know there is. So whether it's, you know, with my business or, you know, anything else I do, it's not that I want to be number one. It's not that I don't care about that. I just want to be the best I can be or do the best I can do with what I have access to. And, you know, in soccer, it didn't really matter if I lost. Well, obviously, no one likes to lose. But as long as I gave my best effort, that's all I can ask for. And that's something I didn't really appreciate when I was younger, but it kind of came with age. And even now, you know, I don't focus so much on the outcome as opposed to, I focus more on the process now. It's like, have I done everything I can possibly do? You know, we're doing this launch and is there really anything else I could possibly have done to make this awesome? No, right? So now let's just let it do what it's going to do. You know, I'm not going to obsess about it. And I think that's just, that's probably a perspective that's come over the last, you know, probably 7 or 8 years with a bit more maturity. And, so going back to your kind of belief, having that competitive spirit. And I mean, for me, like, I don't know if it's like an ingrained thing in my DNA. I'm just like, listen, if you're just going to do stuff half-assed, like, what's the point of doing it? Like, just be the best you can possibly be. That's the most value you possibly can to others. And that's pretty much just the way I live my life.
Yeah, okay, absolutely. And I think, you know, I sort of reflect on that a lot more now. And sometimes I wonder if I'm doing the best I can. And I'm sure I don't all the time. That's sometimes a connection with my patience for things and just a desire to getting things done.
Yeah.
And I guess that comes down to, you know, the character within each of us.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, certainly as far as that self-motivation goes, you know, what keeps getting you up and keeps, you know, getting you going, and obviously that competitive spirit helps you do that. But when you look at the belief and, you know, a belief that, you know, you are the best in whatever field you're in, how does that entangle with your ego and do you have much thought on ego and how that affects life in general?
Yeah, I would say that I'm a very grounded and humble person because nothing aggravates me more than meeting a quote unquote idol or somebody you look up to only to realize that they're an asshole. And that's happened far more times than I've
ever. You sound very grounded, I might just add.
Yeah, honestly, if you've seen my videos on YouTube, it's funny because I was, every time I go to an event or a conference, I run into colleagues who watch my YouTube videos and I'm like, that's cool. That's awesome. And some of our best customers have come from our YouTube videos. And I tell people, I'm like, listen, who you see on the videos is exactly who I am in person. Like there's no disconnect at all. I don't put on a facade. I'm literally who I am in person on video. And I'm super, super humbled for what I'm able to do. I really do my best to not let this stuff get to my head. So, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, I don't know if you've ever experienced this where you kind of talk to somebody who's, you know, quote unquote important, and they're kind of just looking past you for somebody more important to talk to, like they're not fully present with you.
Yeah, all the time.
I don't want to do that to people, like, because I've been on the receiving end of that, and it's really just disrespectful, you know. So whatever, yeah. if I'm speaking to somebody, if I've been on stage or if I run into somebody who knows me that I've never met before, you know, I do my best to really just, you know, be cool and just. And just thank them for giving me the time of day because, you know, the internet has this weird way of creating pseudo-celebrityism. And, you know, I've run into people all over the world who've seen my stuff online and I'm like, wow, that's so cool. But I don't walk around with like an entourage of security guards and people, you know, trying to keep me at arm's length from whoever. So, yeah, that's just part of, I think.
Is that something you've grown?
Really connects my audience to me.
Is that something you've fallen into, or do you always think you've been pretty authentic and honest in your approach to how you deal with others in life?
I think that's sort of express yourself. Yeah, for me, it's been really since as far back as I can remember. And even like when we survey our customers, we say like, what's the one thing that really separates, you know, me, my brand, everything else, everyone else you know, or other companies you do business with, and everyone, the majority of the feedback is just like you're just real, like you're. You know, you're a real person, you're authentic, you're not trying to be some like untouchable guru. I mean, I did a Facebook Live hangout yesterday for our health audience, and I said, listen, I've got a bit of a damaging admission. We just had Halloween here, and I've had far too many candies. Like I've had, you know, 4 or 5 little chocolate bars every single day. And I'm saying that because I understand a lot. You know, I'm saying that because I don't want you guys to think that I'm this perfect eater, because I'm not. And there's a certain level, okay, well, this guy's totally off the wagon, but you know, like I'll let them know that I'm a real human being, that I've have, that I have my faults, that I have my, my shortcomings. And the other thing too, is like my health journey. Like I lost all of my hair when I was 17 to an autoimmune condition. And I think that was a very humbling experience, that up until that point, I was a bit of a douchebag to my brother, especially. So, you know, he was a little bit overweight when we were growing up. So I kind of teased him about that. And I guess the karma came full circle and kind of said, okay, well, here, deal with this. So I think I was humbled at a very early age and realized that, you know, thankfully it was only my hair. And second, I kind of felt what it was like to feel like a bit of an outcast, like an outsider. And so I've always had that ability to really connect and empathize with people who are struggling with, you know, whether it's their weight or, you know, just not feeling right in their body. And that's just something that, you know, I don't take for granted. And it's, I understand that a lot of people are suffering, and, you know, try to do my best to empathize with them and also give them a kick in the butt to understand that they have control to, you know, take power, to take back their power and really make their future what they want it to. So it's a bit of a combination of like sincerity and tough love, but yeah.
You got to have it both. Sometimes the balance is good. That's, it's interesting. And I get exactly what you're saying. I mean, I've had people on the show, and thankfully not many, where it's just been, you know, very much an ego sort of conversation about them.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks, because I do enjoy the conversation nonetheless, because there's insights for myself. But more than not, I speak to, you know, really authentic people on the show. But I had a chat. I'm reading a book at the moment by Ryan Holiday about Ego is the Enemy, which is why I'm talking about it now with you. But I had a chat with a mate too, about, you know, the online space and how it's so easy to project an image of something that is not the actual truth, if that makes sense. And it's just riddled in the internet world. And I just said to my mate, I said, I'm really conscious. I don't want to become something that I'm not, you know, and at times I have to sort of pull myself up and say, is that really, you know, you? And sometimes when I question myself, I go, well, I think it is. And, you know, it's hard to sometimes answer that question. And that's certainly the challenge, I think, with anyone going into the online space, of being, thinking they're, you know, I guess letting their ego take control and thinking they're bigger than they are, and, you know, putting out an image that's absolutely, well, not absolutely not true, but even not true to a small extent. And expressing that vulnerability, I think, is important. But how do you, I mean, have you had that challenge through your online experience? Because you've been doing it for 10 years. And if you have or haven't, how have you managed to stay grounded?
Well, I think I've stayed grounded because I've realized that, I mean, I know a couple people who have fallen, like young guys, who have fallen into a lot of money and a lot of success very early. And I don't know if they've gone through the hardships maybe that I have with my business. So, I mean, obviously, you know, it didn't happen overnight for them. They obviously worked at it and tried things and tested different things out. And it's interesting that when people have a lot of money fall their way, you start to see them, like a lot of the inner insecurities or things that they think are important start to come to the surface. Like they have to do these like videos from their cool private jet, or like things like, okay, well, what are you doing that for, type of stuff, right? But for me, I don't know. I mean, I'm a little bit more, I'm a simple guy. Like I love nice stuff, right? I love like dressing well, even though I don't dress up other than like, you know, jeans and t-shirt half the time. I enjoy the fine things in life, but I'm very, very aware of the fact that I'm all about experiences more than things, you know. So even with my kids, I don't want to buy them toys. I'd rather just hang out with them. I'd rather go, you know, to a trampoline place for them for half a day, or climbing with them and doing things that are going to build experiences and memories, as opposed to just like, hey, can I have the latest toy?
Powerful.
So I don't know. I mean, I think it's just for me, I really enjoy the simple things in life. I'm happy to go for a walk with my dogs or my kids and just enjoy a beautiful day. I mean, I took 2 months off this summer from, it was a full 2 month sabbatical, and everyone's like, oh, you know, did you travel all over the place? I was like, no, I played tennis every single day and I did nothing. I literally played with my kids. I sat outside. I enjoyed the summer and I played tennis. That was for me the perfect kind of 2 months off. And I don't really need much more than that. You know, if I were to win the lottery tomorrow and come across $100 million, I would still do exactly the same things that I do now, day in and day out. Nothing would change. And that's just because I love what I do. And I don't let, you know, success, I mean, I really, I mean, I, listen, I hit number two in the New York Times with one of my books. And I'm like, nothing changed. Like, nothing has changed. Hmm. I played professional soccer in the past, but that was in the past, right? I'm very cognizant of the fact that what happened yesterday is yesterday. I'm always moving forward. I'm always looking forward. And I don't want to be one of those guys that's like, oh, here's what I did 10 years ago. You know, I'm always thinking about how can I be of service tomorrow? How can I be a better person tomorrow? And I don't get caught up on the fact that, you know, way back in the day I played professional soccer or, you know, things like that. That really, really doesn't make a difference in the long term. So, yeah.
There's a lot of lessons in what you've just been saying that you could extrapolate from that. And, you know, I guess it's that awareness piece, and you sound very, you know, conscious of self. And, you know, I mean, I question things sometimes, like posting to Facebook. If I post a picture of, you know, a location that I'm at, and, you know, what's the essence of that and why am I doing it? Or, you know, to the books on my shelf here, and what's the importance of that? I mean, is it a reflection of trying to define myself as someone that's, you know, smart in covering up perhaps something that's not there? You know, there's all these questions that come about it. And I think questioning it really helps you analyze the purpose behind why you do certain things. And in that, you can really help yourself stay grounded, I guess, in my sort of experience. But
totally. I just want to add to that. Like, I think you bring up a good point that if you ask yourself, why am I posting this to Facebook? Just that question will give you phenomenal answers. Because, you know, why is it that you're posting? Like, I'm very strategic with what I post on Facebook for the most part. So I don't post a lot about my family unless, you know, it's like something that's pertinent, because I don't personally like looking at other people's families all the time with all their Facebook stuff. However, it's a very interesting question to ask yourself, like, why am I posting this? Like, am I trying to make myself look cool, successful, smart, whatever? And it's an interesting exercise for sure.
Is it a seek for attention, which often I think it might be, you know, an approval thing, which is a shame. And Facebook is, you know, it's good and it's just so bad at the same time, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I
mean, it feeds the monster.
It's just, it's crazy. I mean, I jump on there to post things like you might, and sometimes I post things and I shouldn't really be posting them, I don't think, in hindsight, but mostly it's to do with just being, you know, being present online as a marketing business tool.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think a lot of people use it, but you can easily see why people get stuck on there and trapped on there. And I've been guilty of, you know, falling into that trap where you start checking Facebook and you're just going, what the hell? Yes. And you're scrolling through just pointlessly, you know, other people's lives. And there's just, not much point to that. Anyway, we're going off on tangents here. Really interested in how you've stayed grounded. And that's certainly a lot of lessons shared there. And just, you know, not thinking yourself bigger than you are and always looking at the future and not, you know, just doing the work, I suppose, which is what you've been doing. Let's talk about some of the work, because I'm conscious of time and I want to talk about health. You talk about, you know, reducing complexity with health and making it simple. For me, I love that, and I think a lot of people do. I mean, I've got some friends that are quite into health and they've got so much knowledge into that particular field. I'm a more generalist. I like to be knowledgeable in certain elements of life and then, you know, trying to put the best practices in those areas so I can, you know, live a life more fully.
Mm-hmm.
So I like it both ways, but I think, you know, if we can make it simple, it's just easy to adapt to life. And that's what I've realized, because I've talked to many health experts on the show and read books and all that sort of stuff. And I just feel, for me, good health means to be active and moving more than, you know, what we're used to. In whatever sense that is, and also just eating really as organic, as natural, as unprocessed food as possible. And if I can do that, then I think I'm in pretty good health without, you know, using any of those addictions as well, which I'm guilty of.
Sure.
Into my life. But what is your thoughts on you know, a message for the audience to make health less complex and simple?
Well, I think you just really summed it up. I mean, the problem is that the health industry is huge. And because of that, you have to always figure out what's the hook, what's the angle to make this unique and different, right? So people start coming up with like random diets. And that's why the whole diet industry is like coming out with like hundreds of books, thousands of books every single year, because they're all for the most part saying the same thing. But in order to sell a product, in order to sell a book, you have to come up with a new angle, a different hook. And I love marketing, but you know, sometimes it can really be a disservice to the average consumer. So I'm very much on the same page as you. It's like literally just move your body more, eat better food, and just like keep it simple. Like do stuff you enjoy doing. Like there's so many rules that people think they have to follow. People are pigeonholed in rules, and it's ridiculous. I think, you know, I'm of the belief now where, you know, when it comes to food, that if you're eating food that makes you feel happy, it's probably going to be better for your body than if you ate healthier food that you feel kind of wasn't good enough for you. The same thing with exercise. You know, like, you don't have to go to the gym. Yes, it's important to build strength and really strengthen your body. But if you hate doing that, I'd rather just see you outside doing something you'd rather enjoy. If you want to play ultimate frisbee, cool, do that. If you want to play cricket, do that. If, like, whatever is going to bring you joy, that's the most important thing, because at the end of the day, you have to really pursue, you have to do stuff in your life that brings you joy. That's like, if you are doing everything right, quote unquote right, but you're miserable, that's, you're fighting a losing battle. So
yeah,
you have to find things that, you know, it's not about like, oh, how many calories should I be eating a day? How many carbs? Like that, all that stuff is granular nonsense in my book. And it's about just like, eat real food, enjoy the process, and don't worry about all the details. Like, it really, I mean, the more I learn about this stuff, the more simple and basic I try to get, because it's, people obsess about this stuff and it just drives them crazy.
Yeah, and certainly that's how I sort of found it at certain points. And I've tried many different diets and ways of eating and, you know, exercise regimes, etc. And because of that, I've just found what works for me, and I'm still finding, you know, what works for me. When you say, you know, eat what makes you happy, I mean, that's got risk behind it, doesn't it? Because, I mean, I like ice cream, and a lot of people out there would like, you know, donuts and coffee laden with syrup and sugars and all that sort of stuff.
Yes, that is correct. So you there has to be, there's obviously a parameter, right? There's like, okay, within the healthy-ish type of foods, and most people know that, okay, let's try to eat foods that are actually found on planet Earth. But again, just allowing yourself to, you know, not worry so much about like, are the lectins in these grains or these legumes really bothering me? Or I don't know if I should be eating this type of bread because whatever. Obviously, like, do your best to educate yourself to make the best decisions you possibly can. But then allow yourself to have a bit of freedom. Like, listen, if you're going to have a birthday cake, have some cake. Don't worry about it. You know, you don't need to kill yourself in the cardio machine to repent your dietary sins. And, you know, really get into the point where you can tap into your own body's wisdom to be like, listen, I had that ice cream because I felt like it. And then I felt really crappy afterwards. So what do I value more? That instant gratification of that taste, which is, you know, just a couple seconds. Or do I value feeling good? And for me, I value feeling good most of the time. So therefore, I try to make decisions that are going to help me feel good most of the time. Because if I feel really kind of drained and lethargic, that's for me, that's how I was very tired and lethargic for like 20 years of my life. And then kind of realized that the way I was eating was not serving me at all. And I, you know, went back to school and studied holistic nutrition and figured out that, you know, food actually made a huge impact on your health and how you feel. And when I started to change things around, I felt like instantly way more energized. Like, I'm talking about like 2 days after I started doing, you know, making some changes. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm, you know, sleeping instead of 12 hours, you know, 8 hours, bouncing out of bed, feeling more focused, more productive. And for me, it's like, if I can be more productive, more energized and healthy throughout the day, then I can serve more people and I can move my mission further forward versus if I'm sleeping on the couch after lunch. So
yeah,
for me, it's about how do I associate how do I connect my food choices, my lifestyle choices with my overall philosophy in life, my overall mission, and who do I see myself as? Like, do I see myself as an overweight, lethargic couch potato, or do I see myself as an everyday athlete, somebody who just is training for life? Because, I mean, I'm not a professional athlete anymore, but I really believe that every single person on this planet is an athlete. Mm-hmm. We move our bodies, we pick things up, we, you know, engage in different endeavors, and our body has to be suited for that. If not, then we're not going to perform well. We're going to get injured. So I like to be able to throw my kids around. You know, I like to be able to run faster than them. I mean, for me, that's just stuff that I enjoy doing. And I want to be somebody who's a really healthy, in-shape father as they get older, so we can do lots of stuff together. So That's the way I see it.
Yeah, really cool stuff. And I just want to touch back on that point of happiness, you know, eat what makes you feel happy. And in my experience, it's been sort of evolutionary, where I've, you know, I used to eat takeaway foods. Like, I used to go to Hungry Jack's or McDonald's, which I think Hungry Jack's is Burger King over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most weeks it'd be a meal there at least. And I was never that unhealthy. Like, I grew up in a pretty healthy family. We ate really natural, you know, fresh foods, lots of vegetables and fruits and et cetera. But I still had those guilty pleasures and did it often enough. And when I got my own freedom, I did probably more than I should have. So it's been evolutionary, but the thing I found is, just like you said, that It's not about making you happy in that moment. And this is what I think it's like an extrinsic sort of superficial surface happiness, that sort of thing. You know, it's where you choose something to give you that instant pleasure.
Yep.
Rather than that longer term pleasure. And that's when I started to make the changes, when I stopped eating it and actually going, well, actually eating some sushi or eating, you know, a sandwich with some salad on it was better. And then from there, it's just evolved to, you know, now I don't really eat bread much anymore. And I still allow myself some bread because I love it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just evolved into that purpose where it's what makes you feel good. Yeah. And if you're unaware of that, then that's the first place you need to start, is to actually analyze, well, how does it make you feel? And by eating that, you know, donut and syrup coffee, how is that actually making you feel? And once you start feeling the difference of not doing it, you can then really make that connection, and that'll just keep you in a forward momentum, in my sort of experience. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's completely true. And that's what I recommend for people. Like, we have a couple different programs that, you know, help them cleanse their body naturally through food and have more energy and so forth. And I say, listen, like, I can tell you exactly what to eat and all this stuff and the benefits of all this stuff and how you're going to feel. I can tell you that until I'm blue in the face, but none of that's going to matter until you experience it for yourself.
Yeah.
Once you experience it for yourself, and you're like, wow, I've never felt this good in my life. I didn't realize that I could feel this good. Then you have the power because you now have the choice to pursue that feeling and live that way, or you can go back to the way you were before. And the trouble is that a lot of people are going through life like zombies. Like, they're relying on coffee and just crap food to just get through the day, and they have no idea how good they can feel. So they don't really know what the other side is, right? But once you've had a taste of how good you can feel, it's like, wow, why would I ever want to do what I was doing before? And, yeah, you know, whether you want to lose weight or anything else, ultimately everybody is doing something for a feeling.
Yeah.
And everybody wants more energy. I've never met anybody who does not want more energy. So if you want to lose weight, a byproduct of that is you're going to feel better about yourself. You're going to feel more energetic. And we're doing these things to feel better. And if you don't know how good better can be, then you're kind of missing a piece of the puzzle. So do what you can, like, follow, you know, a specific dietary approach for a bit to feel better, so then you can be in the position where you can say, listen, I like this. This is working out for me and I want to continue doing this. Or I didn't like this part so much. I like this. I'll take that and move forward and try something else. But now you know how good you can feel, and that's power.
It is. Absolutely. And what do you, because obviously you work with a lot of these people, and I think it, not just in relation to health, but a lot of aspects of life, is when you start experiencing and feeling that difference, then you can start taking more of it. And I'm guilty. I keep going back into certain, you know, in behaviors and patterns, and where I just know that it doesn't make me feel good, but I do it anyway for some reason. It's just the neurological structure that's been christened into my mind, I guess, that makes me go back there. But I know too that I keep progressing and I keep moving forward. And I guess I don't give up. I keep going, you know what? I know how it makes me feel. I'm going to keep trying for that. And then no matter how many times I fail, I'm going to stand up again and keep progressing forward. How do you help people do that? Like, how do you help them not give up? Because I just know it's so easy to go, you know, I know it feels good, but hey, it's just so easy to stay back here and stop the fight, you know, that resistance.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it really is a question of momentum. You know, whether you're on the right path and kind of doing everything right, it becomes a lot easier the more you do it. Or, you know, you kind of fall off the bandwagon, you kind of get a little bit lazy. It's very easy to go that way as well. So definitely, like, you want to, like, you know, letting people know. What I try to do is I'm very realistic with people and say, listen, like, if you haven't worked out ever in your life, I'm not going to lie to you and say it's going to feel great the first couple weeks. Like, your body's going to feel sore the first couple workouts, and that's because your muscles are adapting to this new stimulus. But if I were to say, all right, well, we're going to work out and you're going to feel amazing right from day one, that would be a blatant lie. So I try to be very realistic with people and say, listen, if you can...
It's like the doctor sticking the needle in the arm. this is going to hurt a bit. Boom.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's important to account for the resistance or the challenge that comes with any time we're looking to do any or incorporate any kind of change. Like, if you go into any kind of dietary change and let's say you're addicted to sugar, well, guess what? You're going to feel pretty crappy the first couple of days if you don't eat sugar. If you've been drinking coffee several times a day, if you don't drink coffee, guess what? You're going to feel pretty crappy because caffeine is a drug and you're basically going into withdrawal. That will pass and you will feel 100 times better. But first, we have to get through this little time together. So I think approaching that realistically with people is really important.
Yeah. And that's the hard part is, you know, because, you know, putting that message out there, people are surrounded by all this information and other people, you know, Facebook, seeing other people online and what they're doing. And we all think we need it immediately and need and believe that change is possible immediately just because we see all these other people doing it.
Oh, exactly. And we're so, in the Western world, we're so obsessed with the outcome as opposed to the process. So we only see, hey, here's a celebrity. He just, you know, signed this amazing movie contract. Well, we forgot to mention the fact that he's been working as a waiter and a broke actor for the past 20 years trying to get into this.
Mm.
And I think it's important that people, you know, whenever we're looking to go from, so my one of my coaches, Dan Sullivan from Strategic Coach, he has this beautiful framework called the 4 C's. And it's such a great framework to really approach anything with. The first C is commitment. So commitment is, okay, I'm going to commit to losing 20 pounds, right? But the problem is that a lot of people forget the second C, which is courage, right? So courage is the bridge between commitments and capability. So what we tend to focus on in the Western world is, okay, I have this goal and I want to have it happen by tomorrow. We had a lady, oh my, this is funny. We had a lady leave a 1-star review on my book on Amazon because she only lost 4 pounds in 12 days. And she said, this diet doesn't work.
Mm.
And I was like, I didn't even respond to that because I'm like, I don't get into those kind of discussions, but I'm like, wow, 4 pounds in 12 days. That's not a lot. And somebody else responded by, what were you expecting? 50 pounds. So it's like we have unrealistic expectations and we want them tomorrow.
Yeah.
But you have to understand that in order to have the capability of losing weight, of being healthier, eating better, whatever it is, that does not happen without courage to go through the crap. Like, you have to go through the journey. You have to cross the bridge, and that bridge might be a bit wobbly. And, you know, there might be times where you're kind of on the brink of falling off.
Mm.
But without that courage, you can't reach capability.
Yeah.
And after capability comes confidence, which is pretty much this inherent belief in yourself that you can pretty much do this again or at any point in your life if you want to, because you've already done it before.
Yeah.
So you have to build courage into anything you're doing. And if you're not, then you are making life unrealistically difficult for yourself because you're just expecting things that probably aren't going to happen.
Mm. Yeah, I like that. That's a really good point for the audience to take away as well. And, you know, again, that confidence just builds as you progress. And for me, for example, I like to drink. I like to have a beer in particular. And I had a few months off last year in a row, which I've never done before. And, you know, that just built the confidence that I can actually do it. Because when you're setting out to do it, you just go, oh, how am I ever going to do that, you know? But once you do it, you can build it up again. And I recently just had another 5 weeks off, and now I'm on the track of having November off as well. So it just becomes more a part of life, and to a point where, you know, I believe that it'll take me to where I just don't want to drink anymore. Who knows? Sure. Because it's something that I really enjoy as well. But interesting and certainly valuable for the audience to take away a few of the notes there and around those expectations, you know, unrealistic expectations. I've been reflecting on this quote by Bill Gates recently, which is, you know, we always overestimate the change we can make in a year, but underestimate what we can do in a lifetime or in 10 years, I think it was, you know, which is really powerful. Hey, I want to talk about, we've talked a lot about health and certainly a great open discussion, a bit about ego and staying grounded as well. And I've got some questions I want to ask you, but I just want to quickly ask you, as far as your business experiencing, starting your online business and building it and growing it, what have been some of the key lessons that you could share with us that, you know, we might be able to adapt to our own online businesses for those of us that have one?
Yeah, totally. I think you have to, it definitely helps if you follow a proven model that has been shown to work, but at the same time, it has to resonate with you and your philosophy and core values. I say that because I didn't have a lot of direction when I was starting online, so I had about 3 years where I was really struggling and really not knowing what I was doing, and I took advice from everybody. Didn't really matter who they were. I was like, yeah, I'll try this, and then this, and then this, and I was going down 1,000 different paths. Nothing was really working, and I think you have to, the goal of our main objective is to focus on the what, to be very clear on the what, the vision. And spending time to think about that and then figure out, okay, well, who can help me make this happen, or how can I make this happen if I'm just on my own? But I think we don't spend enough time really sitting in reflection and thinking and planning. We're all just like, oh, it's very tactical. We're all caught up in the latest widget or the latest app or the latest gimmick. And we're not really thinking about the overarching strategy, but how we want to show up in the world through our business. So I think having time to actually spend offline, actually the number one thing you can do to build your online business is to spend less time online, which is kind of ironic.
That's good.
Because I tell people all the time, I'm like, as the entrepreneur, your gift has nothing to do with being connected to the internet. So if you're writing content, or if you're shooting videos, or if you're strategizing or planning, all of that stuff can be done on your computer or on a notepad. And the only time you have to connect to the internet is when you're going to disseminate that to your team or the social media platform or wherever else. But the true essence of what you do can really come from you sitting by the lake on a park bench. Mm. And we don't spend enough time doing that kind of stuff. And I think that's why a lot of people struggle with not really knowing what they stand for and what their business is all about. And they just focus on a lot of the tactics of the day.
Which is, I don't know if it's the right word for it, but oxymoron. It's, you know, we start these online businesses so we can have more time to sit by that bench at the park. Yet really, if we do that from the beginning, we might actually have better online businesses. And it just comes down to doing that, you know, that planning time, that stuff that's really important that doesn't seem urgent, you know, spending time there and doing that and the strategy behind it all as well. In my opinion, I've got a lot of long ways to go with my online business. With your first few years, you said you struggled there. What did that struggle look like?
Well, the struggle looked like this. So I was working as a trainer and nutritionist. So I was working one-on-one with people.
Yeah.
And then I also was starting my business online. So I was right out of the gate, I was like, I'm cutting half my clients in half. I don't even want to work with them anymore. And my online business will make up for the slack. So my first year online, we made $6,000. So that didn't really make up for the slack. My second year, I was like, okay, I'm really gonna make this happen this year. So I committed to only working with a handful of clients and then put the rest of my time into my online business, and we made a whopping $20,000. So I was like, okay, now, I mean, I'm having a tough time paying the bills at this point, right? So the third year was a little bit better. And again, I kind of cut back on some of the clients and focused a bit more on the online stuff. And everything, you know, like, everything changed for me because I thought initially I'm going to just figure this out on my own. I was like a rugged individualist, like stubborn, didn't get any coaching, didn't like nothing. Like I was just like, okay, I'm going to just figure this stuff out on my own. And I realized that wasn't working. Plus I was making all these mistakes and going down all these paths that other people have already been down. So at the end of the third year, I decided, hey, well, why don't I do this? Why don't I actually like get proper coaching from somebody, join a mastermind or something, go to some live events and meet some real people? And that's what I committed to the following year. And within the first couple months of that year, I went to four events that connected me with everybody pretty much in the online fitness space and health space. And I joined a mastermind. And those couple things were, even though I didn't have the money, I knew that I had to do this because what I was doing was not working. So I made the commitment, I did what I had to do, and my business literally just quadrupled that year. So we were doing, by that point, multiple six figures just that year, just from the relationships that I was building and having the proper coaching to show me, okay, well, here's how you build a funnel. Here's some things you need to think about. Here's how to blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And so that was a really, really big transition, a real big pivot in my online business, because now I was starting to think not so much like a technical trainer, like somebody who is good at helping people lose weight. But now I'm starting to think a little bit more like a business owner, a little bit more like a marketer. And for me, marketing is simply education. So I'm not like talking about like, you know, being scammy and all that stuff. The more I educate people, the more I'm marketing essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big epiphany for me. And, you know, from that point on, I was able to really understand the value of learning and connection. And I spent, and even to this day, I spend a lot of my time and money on growth, on coaching, on masterminds, because every single time I do, it yields multiples in terms of ROI, as well as the relationships I'm able to build. And in the long term, like even outside of the business, I'm very good friends with a lot of people that I do business with. You know, like we're very close. Our families are close. We travel together. So even if we, like, even if our business had just evaporated, we would still be very close friends. That's really valuable to me. Mm. So again, going back to the online business, a lot of the value you're going to get is actually not in the online-ness of it. It's in the connecting to real people outside of the online kind of game.
And so that was my big takeaway there is just that whole networking piece, you know. You know, offline, building those networks, and certainly something that's coming fresh to my mind right now as I am quite fresh in my online business as well. Mate, look, I appreciate your time and your thoughts. I've loved this conversation, and I'm sure we could keep going. Perhaps we can have a round two at some stage in the future. I want to ask you a few questions that I ask all guests, and we've got about 7 minutes to do so, so we'll see how we go. The first one is, what particular routine do you have or habits that you do ritually that help you with your success?
I would be lying if I told you that I was consistent with this, but for a good 3 years, I was waking up at 5 a.m. and doing my yoga/meditation for about 15 minutes, doing my most important work for about an hour. And then I would do, you know, some type of movement. So I would do, you know, take my dogs for a walk or whatever it may be. And that was a really, really great routine that I got into. And for whatever reason, I think just out of laziness, I just got the momentum going the wrong way. And I just haven't found the motivation to get back to that because I do enjoy waking up with the sun as opposed to before the sun. So that was a great routine that I had. And right now, I think my routine is really kind of revolves around my kids. So I drop my kids off at 9 to school and pick them up at 3. So I've got 6 hours to get my stuff done. And then outside of that, it's family time.
Yeah. And I think it's important to just, you know, note that, you know, do whatever routine fits with your life now and what direction you want to travel. Certainly for me, I can relate. I wake up at 4:30s now and go through that morning routine as consistently as I can, but not perfect. Okay. What is your meaning of success?
For me, it's, you know, being able to do what you want, when you want, where you want, with whom you want.
Good.
So it doesn't really matter. I mean, for some people, that might be $1 billion. For other people, it might be $1 million, it might be whatever it is. But, you know, outside of the financial success, I don't really know many mentors who have everything together when it comes to their finances, health, relationships, family. It's very, very, very hard for me to think of one person who has all of that. So for me, success is, and I don't know if this is an unrealistic expectation, but, you know, doing the best I can in whatever I do so that I'm able to be as present and as good an example as I can be in those different areas of life. So I can be a good father. I can be a good husband. I can be, you know, a great leader in my business and really impact a lot of people. So, you know, having one of those without the other for me is not truly successful, as well as obviously being in good health. Yeah. So it's kind of a more of a well-rounded approach for me.
Yeah, sure. I can certainly relate. What is your favorite food?
Pizza. Favorite, hands down.
Favorite leisure activity?
Leisure activity, tennis, for sure.
Do you have a favorite book or a book you're currently reading you'd like to recommend for the audience?
I don't know. I don't know if it's my favorite book, but it's one of the ones that's kind of recently been really impactful for me. Is The One Thing? The One Thing is actually a really good book as well. But the book 0 to 1 by Peter Thiel.
Oh yeah. Both great books. I'll stick it in the show notes, guys, so check them out at thehiddenwhy.com. Do you have a quote at all, Yuri, that you'd like to mention?
Yeah, it's actually this fitting because it's at the signature of all my emails, which is from Gandhi, which is basically, be the change you wish to see in the world.
Yeah, nice one. Okay, and the last question, that's sort of twofold. Do we all have a why, and what does living life with passion and purpose mean to you?
Well, I would hope we all have a why, because at the end of the day, at some point, you're going to be like, why am I doing this? Why am I working here? Why am I on this planet? Why am I, you know, X, Y, Z? So I think at some level, everyone's going to hit that question, like, you know, why am I doing or why am I here? So I do believe we all have a why. The second part to that is, can you just repeat that? I just totally forgot the second part of the question.
What does living life with passion and purpose mean to you?
Yeah, I think for it's, you know, kind of like going back to, you know, what does success look like for me? It's really just about, you know, doing what you love to do, living life on your terms, understanding that, you know, you are building your dreams or you're building somebody else's, and really just kind of following your passion in a way that serves the world, right? If you're following your passion, but nobody cares about it, then, you know, it's like, eh. But if you're following your passion and that passion is able to serve a lot of people, then that's cool. I think that's really awesome. And people are attracted to enthusiasm and passion. It's infectious. So I think it's really important to just be that person, whatever it is that you're doing.
Yeah, interesting. Mate, fantastic, great answers. How can people find out more about you and reach out to you?
Yeah, so if they're interested in our awesome health stuff, they can check out my blog at yurielkaim.com. So that's Y-U-R-I-E-L-K-A-I-M. And we're posting daily content on there, recipes, workout ideas, all sorts of stuff. It's really, really good stuff. And if you are a health or fitness professional who wants to grow your online business, you can join our community at healthpreneurgroup.com. And again, I'm sharing a lot of my wisdom about how we've built our business online and how we've been able to serve so many people. And I'm on a mission to help a lot of healthpreneurs impact more people around the planet. So collectively, everyone wins.
Yeah, fantastic. Look, I'll stick all those links in the show notes, guys, so check them out at thehiddenwhy.com. But certainly, if you're a health professional and looking to do that sort of online business and take that path on your own, what a great opportunity. I would certainly be jumping on that myself if that was me. Yuri, thank you for sharing so much gold in this episode. I really enjoyed the chat. I love these kind of conversations.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you.
And yeah, looking forward to the launch of your new book, which will be out soon. So guys, check that out. Again, I'll stick all the links in the show notes. And Yuri, once again, thank you. We'll talk again soon.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thanks a lot for having me.
Till next time, guys. Peace, passion, purpose. See you soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Hidden Why podcast, where it's all about living life with passion. For all the latest news and updates, please subscribe online to thehiddenwhy.com.
There you go, guys. What did you think? Yuri Elkham, what a fantastic guest to have on the show. What a great chat. Reach out to him. Thank him for coming on the show. There's plenty of options to do that. Jump onto thehiddenwhy.com. You'll see all the links there to Yuri, plus my show notes, key takeouts, other bits and pieces. Check that out. And guys, if you love the show, share it with your network. Definitely subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe online so you don't miss out on anything. There's lots more to come. A lot more great guests coming up as well. And guys, I always love to hear from my fans. So reach out to me. Jump onto Facebook, Twitter. You can catch me on email at thehiddenwhyguy@gmail.com or just online at thehiddenwhy.com. I would love to hear from you. Thanks, guys. Enjoy it. You know what to do. You need to go out there and breathe more passion into every single moment. You need to find more purpose into everything you do. And in doing so, just discover your hidden why. Live a life and true to yourself. This is The Hidden Why. My name is Lee Martin. See you signing out. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Hidden Why podcast, where it's all about living life with passion. For all the latest news and updates, please subscribe online, thehiddenwhy.com. This is The Hidden Why.
Are you ready to discover your hidden why? To discover your life's purpose? Then jump onto thehiddenwhy.com and download my free discovery questionnaire. It's designed to help you connect with what's truly important in your life, and in doing so, create more freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. This is the discovery questionnaire. You can download it at thehiddenwhy.com under the resources tab. Discover your hidden why.